Next man up, 102.5 The Game. Jake Lyman joined by Corey Curtis from News 2 live in studio. Parker Kelly on the ones and twos. We are broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Corey, thanks for coming in. I know it's got to be a good week for you with the Bears in first place.
You know, it's not easy to be the best, but, you know, for a week we'll handle it. I say for a week, we'll handle it.
7-3, and we were just talking with Robbie on the way out. You've got the owner of the Bears coming in this week with Aaron Rodgers.
Oh, thanks, man. That's really nice of you. That's really nice of you. How's his career gone lately?
I mean, they're in first place as well.
Okay. Who would you rather have right now, Caleb or Aaron?
Caleb Williams.
All right, yeah. Thank you. Hopefully he doesn't go to some isolation hut for 3 days.
Maybe he has to prepare for the Bears in the only way he knows how, with the darkness retreat.
Hopefully he doesn't skip a mandatory minicamp to go to Egypt.
There's been a lot of skipping stuff going on in the NFL this week, too. CeeDee Lamb and George Pickens, I believe they skipped something, and that's why they were dropped off. Abdul Carter fell asleep in the team facility and missed a walkthrough.
What is happening?
I don't know.
I mean, you know, look, I know everybody gets upset about punishing these guys. It's professionalism.
Right.
Be a pro.
And we heard in the Titans locker room this week of, like, Arden Key saying that the veteran guys can't just tell young guys what to do, and they'll do it these days. So maybe that's part of what
it is. That's troubling.
It is.
That's troubling.
I think we're seeing more of it as we go along. And
you know, I think part of that is the results. There's a young player, there's two ways to go on that. One is, gosh, I need all the help I can get. The other is, these guys aren't winning. Why am I listening to them?
And
I think that's probably, and you know, look, I don't know if they're talking about JC and Tavondre. I don't know. All right. But if they are, you know, when you look at guys like that, and I'm just saying it for instance, a lot of these guys come from places where they win a lot. Okay.
Yeah.
And so now they're not winning, and it's a test for them, you know, how they handle it. And it's not just Tavondre and JC. I mean, I just use them as examples because they're players everybody knows. But like I said, most of these guys come from places where they win a lot.
I'm sure it wasn't specifically targeted at just JC and Tavondre. I would guess it was targeted at a larger group of some of the young players. But when you listen to what Jeffrey Simmons said,
well,
what
I think
Key
there's
said,
not much like, room for error there.
Right. Jeffrey Simmons, we need to protect the quarterback and we can't have false starts.
Yeah.
I think you're looking at big number 55 right there. And, of course, we already have the history with Simmons and Latham as well.
Yeah, I mean, we saw it in the locker room. So, you know, we don't need the report, you know, what happened in the practice. We saw it in the locker room.
Yes, that
is true.
We
heard it.
Titans are now 1-9. 16-13 was the final in that game against the Texans. Cam Ward made some plays down the stretch to get them into the end zone, tie it at 13. You end up losing, and we were saying it as we went on. I've said it this week that I think if you're a Titans fan, that's what you're hoping for.
Yeah, games, but you still pick first.
Right. You see your young quarterback make some plays, and you still find a way to lose in a close one.
You know, when you're clamoring for success, though, that when you've got the opportunity, then it just becomes disappointing again.
Yeah.
And suddenly the number one pick isn't what you're thinking about when you got a chance to win the game with a minute to go. And, you know, I was really glad to hear Cedric Gray say what he said after the game. You know, the defense played really well. Really well. But on 3rd and 16, on the game-winning drive, they don't get the stop. It's a great throw and a great catch by a gigantic receiver. And sometimes there's not much you can do about it, but you got to find a way to get off the field on 3rd and 16. And, you know, that's the difference between winning and losing. Now, you still may not win the game, but you give yourself a chance.
Yeah, there were still 40-something seconds on the clock heading into that play. So if that's incomplete, you get a chance to see if you can get into field goal range for Joey Sly. But obviously, it didn't work out that way. Texans kicked the game-winning field goal and improved to 5-5. Titans 1-9. For Cam Ward, it was, I would say, not a great day for him overall. I think the accuracy was off for the most part. You did see some strides of
it's a mixed bag
running the ball. We talked about that. Mike McCoy said on Monday of last week that they want Cam Ward to be more willing to run the football instead of running to make a throw. If you see space in front of you, take it. And he did that on that last drive for a big game.
And it's not just about creating 2nd and 5. It's about, I can move the chains here. You know, I mean, there's times where it's like, okay, it's third and five or whatever. I can move the chains. Just take it and get yourself three new downs. That's it.
Yeah.
And I'm not looking for him to run 10 times a game or 8 times a game or even 5 times a game. Just those 2 or 3 times when you can move the chains or there's just no place to go. Because I, you know, there are times where he ends up holding on to the ball until the rush arrives and then he unloads it. And it's fine. It's incomplete. But there are times where he holds on to the ball where he could just go run and get something. And, you know, it's that whole thing of him, you know, always wanting the big play.
Hunting the big play, yeah.
And I get that. I get that. But, you know, there's one Josh Allen, one Patrick Mahomes in the lead, and they're both willing to run the ball.
Yeah.
They hold on to it, but they also both take off and get yards. And, again, he's a rookie. We have to be willing to accept the good with the bad. Now, that changes over time, without question, but it's not – you know, I always go back to, like, you know, who is the kid the Jets drafted first?
Zach Wilson.
He was horrible.
Yeah.
I mean, and there was – like, you watch, you're like, oh, my God, he's horrible. And like, there wasn't much doubt there. Now I'm going to have somebody send me numbers that say, oh, see, he was better. No. You watched him. He had no clue what he was doing.
He was hitting defensive backs in between the numbers multiple times.
He had no clue what he was doing. And, you know, I'm not there with Cam Ward, all right? There's good and there's bad. I really liked how quickly he got rid of the football last week. I think it was part of the game plan. I think it was a smart part of the game plan when you see who's coming after him. And I liked, you know, that part of it. I liked his willingness to run the ball. I liked his last drive. You know, they got a big call that went their way on that drive. That certainly helped.
Yes, they did.
But they took advantage of it.
That was a questionable PI call, but I think there were some other ones that didn't go their way.
Look,
there's
no question the guy held his arm.
Yes.
There's no question. But are we used to seeing the Titans get that call? No. Are we used to seeing it go against them? Yes. All right? So, you know, they took advantage of it. They scored their game-winning touchdown drive. The play was set up extremely well and executed extremely well. I like all that. Having said that, missed opportunities, all right? There's some missed opportunities that don't come along that often in the NFL that have to be executed.
Yeah.
And whether it's the receivers or the quarterback or the combination of the two, that's got to be complete.
Yeah.
And I'm not just talking about the one pass. There's like three or four that need to be complete.
Well, the Kinsey one with Ward rolling out of the pocket is the one everybody's pointing to.
Because he's out there by himself.
There was a big argument on Titans Twitter yesterday that I was scrolling through and just trying to get more context on it. And everybody's trying to blame one person in particular for it. Like, oh, Kinsey should have continued his route to the sideline. Yeah. And, oh, Ward threw it where he wasn't meant to go.
It's the problem when you say somebody reads this and the other one reads that.
Right.
And he's expecting him to, well...
I think it was probably both.
Sure.
I don't think it was a great throw from Cam Ward. Even if Kinsey was supposed to run that closer to the boundary, I still don't think it was a great throw from Ward. But I also don't think that route that Kinsey ran was what Ward was expecting him to do.
No. I mean, it's pretty clear he expected him to go back to the outside. But I'm not smart enough to tell you which way or the other. I just know this. He's so wide open, he could have punted him the ball.
Yes. Yes, and those are the plays you can't miss because the Titans don't get wide receivers open very often. We're going to talk a lot about the wide receivers today because that room is now thin as it can be.
Injury report's going to be interesting today. You got DK with the chest contusion because he did clear. The important thing is he cleared concussion protocol.
Yes, that is important.
So it's a matter of how much pain, because they said chest contusion, which is a bruise. Now, I'm old enough.
There are different severities of that.
To say, oh, it's just a bruise. No, there are some bruises that you can't play through and some that you can.
Yeah.
My guess would be he will pad it up and play. But we will see. The bigger concern to me is Io Manor. He tweaked his hamstring late.
Yeah.
So that remains to be seen. And, of course, Ridley's on IR. And those are your top three receivers. And oh, by the way, Lockett plays for the Raiders, so that's your top four.
Bryce Oliver. Bryce Oliver's on IR.
Yeah.
So you're left with Van Jefferson, Mason Kinsey. James Prochet was just called up from the practice squad.
They just signed two guys to the practice squad.
They did, and they've still got
Xavier.
They've still got X down there on the
practice squad. The thing is like with DK and the chest contusion, this may be a game where they say, all right, we're going to bring up Restrepo. Although Prochet can return punts and kicks as well.
Yes.
If you wanted a reason to bring up Restrepo, you could say we're going to have him return punts and kicks.
Right.
So, We'll see what they do.
Fossil did say yesterday that Prochet is likely going to be the returner if DK was to miss Sunday's game. 615.
Yeah, I've been on Sick Kid Patrol, so I didn't hear anything.
Well, those ones kind of fall through the cracks because those aren't streamed. It's just you got to find them on Twitter.
I'm usually there on Monday.
No, it was yesterday.
It was yesterday.
Yeah.
It was
Fossil.
Oh, okay, Fossil. Yeah. I was going to say, it wasn't McCoy then. Okay.
No, Fossil yesterday said that if DK misses, Prochet would like to
be there.
I wonder
if that's his choice.
Right. I would guess so.
I would think so. I mean, you would think he's got the swag and the respect to do that.
Yeah, that McCoy's not going to micromanage and say.
I would just say, who do you want?
Right.
Who's our best choice?
So, and Prochet's the most experienced guy. That's what you want back there. So.
Sure.
615-737-1025 is the phone number if you want to text or call. Our phone line is driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Lenny says the Texans had a backup quarterback in. I don't think we ever said that they didn't.
No, and that's why, like, you know, you need that. We said going in, you got a chance to win this game.
Right. But the Titans are also capable of losing to anybody.
Absolutely.
And
Davis Mills is a decent backup quarterback. You know, and their offense wasn't what won the game. I mean, they've got the number one defense in the league. And
right.
And that's a whole other point. You scored 13 last time you scored zero against them. So
progress.
Progress.
I was alerted by Joe Rexroad to a text from last show saying, please explain your logic about Cam Ward and the value of the number one pick overall to your 9 o'clock show host and Ward Homer. If you are not sure about a guy, you take the deal, especially when you have a weakness at near every position on the field. Well,
they were
convicted on Cam Ward.
They were
very sure about Cam Ward.
There was nothing unsure about it.
Like I've never said that you take the quarterback just for the sake of taking the quarterback. If you really like the quarterback and think he's the franchise guy, you take him, and the picks aren't worth it at all.
No, if you get your quarterback, everything else tends to fall into place.
And
even the Bengals got to the Super Bowl.
They could totally be wrong about the quarterback.
Sure.
I've never said that Cam Ward is a surefire franchise guy.
Plenty of teams have been in the past.
But if you feel convicted on a quarterback and you have the number one pick, you take the quarterback.
Absolutely, and you have to hope your scouting is accurate and you're good to go on that. I mean, that's all there is to it. And by the way, yes, you could have had picks, and I'm sure they would have drafted Abdul Carter. Abdul Carter's done just about nothing this year for the New York Giants.
Half a sack.
Yeah, and I loved Abdul Carter
coming out. Yeah, me too.
So I would have had no problem with that pick. But I'm just saying, with the Giants, and he's surrounded by good players. I know they stink, but I mean, he's got Dexter Lawrence. He's got Brian Banks. It's not like he's getting double teamed every play.
Yeah.
Okay. And he's still not winning. That to me is problematic for the Giants. That
right.
He is not winning.
They have lots of highly drafted pass rushers on that team. Brian Burns, Kayvon Thibodeau.
Yeah, I keep calling Brian Banks.
And Abdul Brian Banks also played for the Giants for a little bit there, I think.
With Carl Banks?
Cornerback.
Carl Banks, the middle linebacker.
615-737-1025. Just wanted to put it out there. I am a Cam Ward believer. I think that he is going to figure it out at some point. Does that mean he's Patrick Mahomes? I don't think so. But like, I think he is going to be a good quarterback for this team. Not a Cam Ward homer. I'm willing to admit that he's been bad so far in his rookie season.
Well,
there's been flashes, though.
I think you just have to say there's been good and there's been bad, and the whole product is bad, and all of it needs to get better, and that all of it includes Cam Ward.
Yep.
But like you said, I've seen enough to know, for me to say, well, let's keep looking.
Yes.
Let's keep seeing where this road takes us.
Right.
And that's, I guess that's where I am on it, because I mean, you're not a quarterback away from competing for the Super Bowl this year or next year.
Right.
Anyway, now if he makes a big leap next year, and you get a couple of picks right, and you get a free agent or two right, suddenly you can win some more games. I mean, the line is that thin in this league.
Yep, and finding a coach is part of that. They've got to get the right guy to develop Cam Ward. Also, they need to give him more help around him at wide receiver.
Yep.
And we'll talk about that next. The wide receiver room with Calvin Ridley breaking his leg is now very thin.
One play.
Very young and very... you know, if Jim and Alec don't play, there's not a whole lot of talent there. We'll talk about the wide receiver room and what the Titans could do this year and moving forward. Jake Lyman, Corey Curtis, Parker Kelly with you on this Wednesday morning. Next man up, 102.5 The Game. Preds fan Smashville Live returns tonight at Brewhouse 100 in Bellevue at 6 p.m. See your Predators star players up close and personal and also get autographs and pictures. Tonight's Preds player guest is Ryan O'Reilly. That's tonight at Brewhouse 100 in Bellevue and only on 102.5 The Game. We'll talk some Preds later. later on in the show. They are back from Sweden. But starting off the show with the Titans, the wide receiver room is abysmal right now. Calvin Ridley, done for the year, possibly done in a Titans uniform. I would argue probably done.
I think most people would expect that.
I don't think he will play again for the Titans. Jim DK, we mentioned it, chest contusion.
He will be back.
He will be back. We will see him again, I would almost expect, but maybe not on Sunday.
Yeah.
And Elik Iemanjer with a hamstring.
Mm-hmm.
We'll dive more in on him a little bit later, but what do the Titans do here? You've got three wide receivers now on the practice squad. On your active roster, if DK and Iemanjer don't play, you've got Jefferson, Kinsey, Prochet.
Yeah, three.
Those are your three.
Oh, okay, because the other two are hurt,
Right. If Elik and DK don't play, you would hope that they do, and if they play, I think that five is probably fine. But if either of them don't play, feels like the week that Xavier Restrepo comes up.
Yeah, because they signed two guys to the practice squad. I don't have their names in front of me. I know one of them was with
Lance
the team.
Lance McCutcheon had been around the
yes,
team.
Yes, that's what I said. One of them had been here before, so he won't have as much
I think he just was released from the
practice squad last week. Yeah, I agree
and he's
with
back.
That. I agree.
And then the other guy I don't know if I had ever heard of before, Christian Wilkerson.
I don't know. I remember Christian Wilkinson, the first-round pick out of Clemson, but he's a defensive lineman. Which might be okay for this team. I don't know.
Oh, it's a return for Wilkerson as well. Reading through the article on Titans.
All right, so they got two guys who know the team.
Yes,
that seems smart.
He was signed by the Titans as an undrafted free agent in 2020.
Wow, he's been around.
Yeah, so
and we've still never heard of him.
So that's your group. That is the eight wide receivers that you currently have on your team and healthy ish. And two of them might not play. So this
here's the first thing I would do: play two tight ends. Go two tight ends a lot.
Yeah, I agree. We were just talking during the break of Chig, kind of became the third tight end down the stretch.
Third wide receiver.
Third wide receiver down the stretch because you had no other choice. It was Mason Kinsey and Van Jefferson, and Elik kind of kept coming in and out, grabbing his hamstring, and then heading back to the sideline.
Yeah.
So
that doesn't bode well.
And it usually tightens up after the game, so I would assume that...
He's probably not going to play.
I would guess. I feel better about Chim playing than I do about Elik playing.
Yeah, absolutely.
But even if DK plays, I still think that Restrepo might be the guy coming out. I mean, if the Titans call up Lance McCutcheon or Christian Wilkerson Xavier Restrepo this week, then just send Xavier Restrepo somewhere else because clearly he is not an NFL quality receiver.
Well, he's been on the practice squad for a reason.
If you're going to call up a guy you sign off off the street that week over a guy who's been with you since May,
I understand what you're saying.
What's the point of him being there?
Well, because you're developing him. You know, you think you see something there that you want to develop, and he may not be ready at that time. I don't know. I'm just telling you, it's not unheard of. It's not unheard of to bring to bring experienced guys off the street, and then they play over guys who. It's not always, but it's not unprecedented.
When you're 1-9.
Yeah. Well, no. I mean, and you're right. Look, it would appear now is the time.
Right. That's what I'm saying. I've continued to say the Titans are telling you what they think of Xavier Restrepo by what they're doing. They put Mason Kinsey on the 53 over him. Like, we know what Mason Kinsey is.
Yeah, but he's been in the league for 6 years.
But we know what he is. He's not going to help you. And we saw it on Sunday that, like, and I know that the throw we talked about at the crossing route on that last drive, of it was high from Cam Ward, but a capable NFL receiver probably makes that catch.
I don't know that I agree with you on that. I think it's tougher than you think, and I just think the throw needs to be better.
I agree. The throw was high. And it was out in front.
Look, if it's Nico Collins, who's 6'4", he's going to catch it. He's going to catch it. He's bigger. He's longer. That's why you draft guys with
size for sure. But like Mason Kinsey also is there's a reason that he has been a practice squad player his whole
career. That is true. But I mean, he's open. He's open. There's no question about that. He's also one of the fastest guys on the team.
I will give him credit. The sliding catch that he made,
he was open.
It was not a great throw from Cam.
He adjusted
to the ball.
He made a layup throw. He was like, okay, we're going to catch this and we're going to get the first down.
Yeah,
and I was fine with. I thought it was a good decision. Make sure it's complete, and that's what they did. And Mason made sure it was complete.
Yeah,
but trapped his body around the ball. I had no problem with that throw whatsoever.
I see what you're saying. It was third down, right, on that play?
I don't remember. I just remember, you know, look, could they have a bigger receiver out there? Yeah, they could, but he's not. He's 5'10", and you're the first pick of the draft. Put it on him.
No,
Put it on him.
For sure. The throw could have been much better, but you wish that you had better options behind your receivers than Mason Kinsey.
Absolutely. I don't disagree with that.
If Xavier Restrepo can't beat out Mason Kinsey and can't beat out Lance McCutcheon and Christian Wilkerson, then I don't think he's ever going to play for this team.
Yeah, you have to. It would appear to be time to give it a look. Yeah. And by the way, you're playing a game where you're probably going to be behind, and he's probably going to throw 40 passes.
13-point underdogs?
Yeah, probably going to throw 40 passes. So you're going to need receivers. You just are.
615-737-1025 is the phone number. Let's go to our phones. Our good friend Trey has called in. Trey, thanks for waiting. Go ahead.
Top half of the bottom third. Let's go.
Hey, Corey.
Hey, Trey.
I was flipping through the TV the other day. I did not know you were on TV.
Thanks, brother. Only for about 20 years. Thanks for watching.
I love you. I love you.
You know what? I'm one step ahead of the Titans. You watched me, and you never watched them.
I watch you all the time. I love it all the time. Hey, I just wanted to say, how many passing touchdowns does Cam Ward have this year?
Six.
Okay, he has six.
That's still not enough.
He's played 600 hours of football. We've had to watch 600 hours of football.
One touchdown every 100.
600 minutes, Trey.
That's crazy.
600 hours would be brutal.
Hey, 600 minutes.
Hey, that's like me playing Pee Wee 7th grade Pee Wee football, and I got more touchdowns than he do, and I was on the bench.
Well, I think in Pee Wee football, Cam had more touchdowns.
Hey, I hear y'all, but I hope he does well, though. Yeah.
Well, like, we've done nothing but say he needs to play better. I mean,
I know he needs to play better, but you think that he's right in the head to be able to play better?
Oh, yeah. Look, I think he's got the will, and he puts in the work. There are certainly habits he needs to overcome. And I think there's also an ego check with some of the stuff that he needs to accept. And that's not to say he can't make these plays, but he doesn't have to. He doesn't have to be the whole team.
Yeah.
He has to facilitate.
He doesn't have to be the whole team.
And I think accepting that is part of it.
Exactly. Hey, and I would call up Restrepo only because they have a bond with each other. And, you know, everybody talked about Restrepo being slow. But if he has good hands, though, it would be really good, you know, for him to connect with Cam and see if they can dig out of this hole.
You know who?
But
one
I
guy
love
who?
Y'all, and y'all have a good day. Corey, you do a good job.
Thanks, Trey, brother. Appreciate you calling.
Thanks, Trey.
See y'all later.
You know, we talk about the slowness, and there's no taking away from it, but Anquan Boldin was not fast.
No.
And Anquan Boldin is an unbelievable player. Unbelievable player.
And you've got to take Xavier Restrepo for his word on it, but he did tweet out that he hit like 21 miles per hour on the field or something.
Yeah, I did see that.
So,
yeah.
We don't have the proof of that, but there is a difference between straight line running and football fast. And I'm not saying that he's going to go out there and be a burner, but I do think there is a difference between what you run in a 40 and what you actually can do in terms of speed and quickness on the field.
Jerry Rice, I don't know what he ran in the 40, but I do know this. Nobody ever caught him with the ball in his hands.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's something to that. You know, some guys are just football players.
Yeah.
And that goes to the Anquan Boldin discussion.
Right.
You know, he was just football. Debo Samuel looks like a running back. He's not at his best anymore. But Debo Samuel for a while was hell of a football
player.
Yes,
he was.
And so it's not everything. It's a very big thing, but it's not everything. The thing I keep wondering is, what if he goes out there and catches like 8 balls for 84 yards and a touchdown? Fans are going to go just crazy. They're going to be like, you didn't bring this guy up. What are you doing? Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
We could be 5-4 or 5 right now with Restrepo, which isn't true.
It's going to be I told you Restrepo was better than what we had.
Yeah.
It's We'll see. I hope he gets a chance. Yeah. And again, a chance doesn't mean starting at slot receiver. A chance means 10 to 15 snaps, maybe a couple targets, and we'll see what he can do.
Like you said, they're 1-9.
Right.
See what you got.
What do you have to lose?
Just see what you got. I mean, look, the other guys that they just signed, Wilkerson and McCutcheon, is that right?
Yes.
Okay. They're not a part of your future either. Okay?
Yeah.
So take a look at them. See what you got.
Exactly. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. We'll get to your phones. Ooh, we see you waiting.
CJ Stroud is out Thursday
night. Oh, he is. Yeah. All right. So three straight missed games for CJ Stroud. Bills on Thursday. 615-737-1025. Again, we will get to your phones. We see you waiting. We'll do that next. Jake Lyman, Corey Curtis, Parker Kelly, next man up, 1025 the game. Next man up, 1025 the game. Jake Lyman, Corey Curtis, Parker Kelly with you. Wednesday edition of the show. Talking Titans, who are 1-9 and heading into a game against the Seattle Seahawks on Sunday at Nissan Stadium. Let's go back to our phone lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Dustin from Hopkinsville has been waiting patiently. Dustin, thanks for calling. What you got for us?
Good morning, guys. First of all, I just wanted to tell you said that you were a step ahead of the Titans. I just want to congratulate you on that accolade, sir.
I was a step ahead of the Titans because he watches me.
Oh, right,
he doesn't watch the Titans.
Yes,
yeah.
He had only heard you on the radio.
I didn't know Trey owned a television.
Yes, so. I didn't think he did.
But you actually can stream the news now, too, so maybe he's streaming
right,
news
on
too.
The computer, yeah.
Yeah. Hey, guys, I wanted to touch on a few things. I only got a minute. So the DK injury really bothered me. I was there, and I watched it from the whole other side of the field, and I seen – the kick hung in the air. It may have been one of the best punts of the day. And he had to run to the right side of the field, which is fine, but it was the time it took him, and he was looking up from what I could see the whole time. And his body was slanted when he caught it. He should have done anything but run that ball. We've got to get better coaching to tell them, live to fight another day. You know, it really hurt the team, him getting injured. I'm not putting all the blame on him, but I really don't think he should have ran that ball back.
Don't you think that's a one-off, though, Dustin, for what he's done this year?
It is, but, man, he's not there now. I mean, he's in concussion protocol.
No, he's not.
He's out of concussion protocol.
He was not. He passed concussion protocol. Oh. He has a chest contusion.
A chest contusion.
Yes.
Well, how long is he out now?
We don't know. You know, it's just, yeah. I mean, contusions are funky.
Yeah,
you know, some are worse than others.
We'll get an idea today when they hit the practice field.
Yeah.
But also, you know, on the stretch thing, I went back and watched tape on this dude. And people keep saying, if the Titans are not putting him up, they tell you what they think. I tell you what I think about the Titans. I think they were talking about it this morning. There's a lot of incompetency from the head down, and that's where it all starts. And that's what the problem here is in Tennessee. It's from the head down. And I don't have any faith in the people telling me stretch time. I watched tape on this guy. I see his size. I see how thick he is, and he's darting, and he's got brass, down below the belt, buddy.
Yeah,
do nothing but catch. And when he gets the ball, after the hit, he's amazing on tape. And I know it's college, and the game's faster, but you got to get this guy up there and see what he's got.
Look, his college tape is great. I'm not going to disagree with you. I am intrigued to see what he can do as well. But, you know, and believe me, the Titans have problems at the top when you look at the way their draft and free agency is gone. There's no question about that. The one thing I will say in their defense in this situation is, Dustin, he's on the practice squad, which means at any point, 31 other teams can sign him to their active roster and play him. And through 10 weeks or 11 weeks, because they had the bye, no one has elected to do that. So the other 31 teams in the league have agreed with the Titans to this point.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they just need to put it to bed.
I agree. He needs to play.
If nothing else, you know Cam's going to feed him. You know he's going to try.
They're 1-9.
Cam sees, man, it's ain't going to work out. I've got to feed myself.
They're 32nd in offense. They're not going to be 33rd. There is no 33rd.
Yeah, it can't get any worse.
Yeah.
And I agree with you on the tight ends, dude. The tight ends are driving me nuts.
No.
Gunnar Helm, I was sitting there, and I yelled at Camp 25 yards behind him. I said, dude, throw to the dang tight end.
Yeah.
He threw to the tight end. And it's in the fourth quarter every time they finally decide to utilize
it. It is. You're right. They wait 3 quarters.
80% on his catches. I mean, it's crazy. And Chink, I mean, he's coming around this year, too. Why are we waiting in the fourth quarter? That's why people are saying this is a – non-disclosure signed tank. You know what I'm saying? Like, nobody's saying it because they can't, but that's why people are saying it. I mean, it's play call. Look what they did. They just throw the Spears on 3rd and 13. It worked out, but 9 times out of 10, like, that doesn't work out.
Yeah, thanks for the call, Dustin. I agree with you on the Restrepo stuff of, yes, there was a reason why pre-combine there was talk of him getting into the top 100 in the draft of, like, hey, he could be a day two pick.
That ended.
But guess what? All 32 teams had a chance to draft him. They didn't. After the Titans cut him after training camp, all 32 teams, the other 31 teams, had a chance to claim him. They didn't.
Yep.
And every single week from there on out, they've had a chance to steal him off the practice squad, and they didn't. So it's not like it's just the Titans, like you said,
that doesn't mean he can't play. I always say James Harrison, who's going to be in the Hall of Fame, if he's not already, I don't know. But
he might be.
Yeah, look, he started on the practice squad in Pittsburgh.
Right.
It happens.
There have been plenty of players who have not been the blue chip guys who worked their way through.
Steve McMichael just got into the Hall of Fame.
I mean, you can look through and find plenty of guys who did not come in as highly touted players and maybe didn't get breakthrough until their first or second year. Or until after their first or second year, but we'll see. Xavier Restrepo might get a chance on Sunday, and he's got to take advantage of it.
And by the way, Chig has been a 50-catch guy for 2 seasons.
Yeah.
This will now be the 3rd season.
Right.
My point has been he can be more than that if you make him more of a focal point of your offense. He has shown you what he can and cannot do. It is time to accentuate the can-do portion of Chig Okonkwo.
Agreed. The tight ends have been probably the most reliable group for the Titans on offense so far this year.
Yeah.
And they don't use them nearly enough. Let's go back to our phone lines. Teddy is on the line wanting to chime in. Teddy, thanks for calling. What's up?
Hey, guys. What's going on?
We're just living, trying to get through this one. Not today, through the season.
We all are, right? Okay. So, yeah, just a few things I wanted to touch on, man. First one is our head coach, our interim head coach, Mike McCoy. I don't understand what this guy is doing with his whole deal of this not going for it on 4th down.
Yeah.
Guy, you are not going to be the head coach. So at this point, what do you have to lose? Nothing. You are just here to pretty much be a caretaker to take care of the team throughout the rest of the season. So go for it on 4th down. Take chances. Like, you know, see what happens. You never know. You might just find something in the process of doing that. You know, that's one thing. And the second thing also to the whole receiving core thing with Restrepo and all of that. I understand what you guys are talking about 1,000% with how the team sees and they know that, okay, this guy's not ready yet. Maybe let's give him some time. Let's, you know, maybe redshirt him, something like that. But also to other receivers we brought in, we brought them off their potential and what they can become. But let's not forget, Restrepo outproduced all of them in college. But college is not NFL, and I understand that 1,000%. College is not NFL. But if you look at his production in college, probably our 2 receivers that we brought in, if you put their production together, it's probably not, you know, it's probably matching up to Restrepo's whole college career. So what I'm trying to say is just give him a chance and let's see. Oh, and one thing I'm forgetting, he happens to have the season with the quarterback that we drafted.
Yeah.
His last year in college, it happens to be with the quarterback that we drafted. So, let's see. Maybe he might make Cam comfortable. We're not saying throw the ball to X and let X go 70 yards, but help him. He's going to move the chains.
Yeah, somebody's going to catch him.
Walker, like an Edelman, you know?
Yeah, you're not wrong.
Like that.
I mean,
what I called in to say, man. And you guys have a wonderful one, man.
Yeah, thanks for the call, Teddy. We were just talking about the Mike McCoy lack of aggressiveness. And
we actually agree.
Yes, we both agree that the 4th down decision isn't what bothered us. It's the decision to run on 3rd down.
Yes. The lack of aggressiveness, the lack of putting the 1st down in Cam Ward's hands when your offensive line has proven it can't go get it for you.
Yes.
And by the way, this is what you drafted Cam Ward to do, to go get you that 1st down. And so if you want to take the points because you've had a lot of drives get over the 50 and you don't score, I get it. You're playing a backup quarterback. You think field goals might win it for you today. I get that. And why does Mike McCoy coach that way? Because he is an old school coach, all right? And that is the way he is going to coach it. He is trying to win the game.
Yeah.
And if you want him to coach a different way, he is not going to do it because he knows I am trying to win the game. The win-loss still goes on his coaching record.
Right.
All right? He is trying to win. You don't have to like it, but he is trying to get a W.
Yeah, and interim coaches, typically you see them kind of loosen up a little bit and play aggressively because it's like, yeah, you don't have much to lose at this point, but
well, I mean, look,
it seems like he's gone the opposite direction.
If you had Nick Holtz or Bo Hardigree, who are young coaches, they probably would.
Right.
But and they've also never been a head coach before. They got nothing to lose. Let's just go.
Well, I don't know what the communication is between Mike McCoy and Bo Hardigree, but there needs to be more in those situations of hey, Bo, what are you calling here? And it's like, hey, we're going to run the football.
Well, he's got to know. I mean, they've all got to know.
There has to be a communication of,
we're kicking if we don't get it.
Yes. Is this four down territory?
Yes.
Do I have two plays
because
here,
Because running
Mike?
The ball there says it's four down territory.
Right, right.
Throwing the ball says we're kicking it.
Yes.
But then you run it and you kick it. Look, they didn't lose yards.
Right.
And, you know, if you lost 2 yards, I mean,
it changes everything.
Yes.
But, yeah. Like,
I mean, it's still fourth and two. That's why I said, when they bring Cam out of the pocket, generally only good things have happened this year.
Yep.
I don't know.
It doesn't make a whole lot of sense, but it doesn't seem like it's going to change very much. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. We'll get to more of your phones. We'll also have a conversation about Alec Iamanner on the other side. Don't go anywhere. Jake Lyman, Corey Curtis, Parker Kelly, next man up, 1025 The Game. Tonight on Totally Hits 93.3, catch MTSU men's basketball as the Blue Raiders take on Michigan at 5:30. Coverage is also available on the Totally Hits Nashville app and at totallyhitsnashville.com. Jake Lyman, Corey Curtis, Parker Kelly with you. Next man up, 1025 The Game. Let's go back to our phone lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Keegan is on the line. Keegan, thanks for calling. What you got for us today?
Hey, man, I don't have a whole lot for y'all today. I was just curious. So, obviously, with the Seahawks coming in, we are essentially two touchdown underdogs.
Yes.
And I believe on Monday, I called in Reaction Monday just talking about how a lot of times people have very high expectations and they set themselves up to be let down once the Titans play. So I'm just curious, with the Seahawks coming in, what kind of expectations should the Titans fans have for a successful ball game? What does success look like for the Titans? Is it maybe forcing an interception or two on Sam Darnold, who's been throwing some lately?
Four in
the
last game.
Is it holding Jackson Smith and Jigba less than 150?
Yeah.
Is it the defense holding them under a certain amount? You know, what could it be? What does success look like this Sunday? So just kind of all I want to ask, and I'll hang up and listen.
Yeah, thanks for the call, Keegan. I mean, I don't think it's going to be all that close on Sunday.
Yeah. Well, I think it's a good question.
It is a good question because you do need to set expectations when you sit down and watch the Titans play.
Yeah.
Of they're probably going to lose. They're probably going to lose by double digits. But what can you look for to see that there's progress in the right direction?
I think the first place you have to look at is right tackle.
Yeah.
And you have to look and see, because doesn't Leonard Williams line up over there a lot?
Yes, I believe so.
Okay, Leonard Williams is a really bad man.
Yep.
And how do they handle Leonard Williams? Are they able to give Cam time to be able to run the ball at all? Or does Leonard Williams and that Seahawk defensive front just destroy everything
right
in front of it? So, you know, how does the offensive line stand up against that group? I think that's certainly one place. You know, if the offense could put 20 points on the board, that's a good day.
Yeah, that's a win.
That's a good day. You're averaging like 14.
How much did the Rams put up on Sunday? It wasn't much more than 20.
No, it was like 21, right?
Yeah.
21-19?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
and that was with four interceptions.
Right.
And that's with Matt Stafford, Puka Nakua, and Kyron Williams and
Devontae
Adams.
Yeah, I think you hit 20, you feel great about that.
Yeah, so if you can score 20, that's great. Jackson Smith and Jigba is a problem.
Yeah, JSN versus JAD on the outside is probably not going to go very well.
I mean, it's, you know, I guess you hope if you can keep him out of the end zone, that would be all right. You know, if you limit explosive plays, if you allow the catches underneath
right,
but you limit explosives, I think that would be good. I guess if you could limit the Seahawks to 28 points, I would take it.
Yeah.
I mean, I hate to sound negative like that. If you lost like 28-20, I'd put my hat on and go, all right, that was a good day at the ball yard. Let's go home. Because, look, they're coming off a loss, and this is one of the better teams in the league. You know, they could come in and hang a 42-3 on you. And that's just the way it is. And so if you can lose by less than 13 and if you can just get the game to the fourth quarter where you're within 10 points, I think that's kind of a victory in itself.
Yeah, and of course, when you're watching these games, the main thing you're looking at is Cam Ward. And
yeah, absolutely.
Is Cam Ward going to go out and beat the Seahawks single-handedly? Almost certainly not. But you look for, can he take care of the football? Mm-hmm. He had another fumble on Sunday. Take care of the football, move the chains, and maybe use his legs a little bit more. And again, he doesn't have a multi-touchdown game yet in his career. I'd love to see that at some point. Maybe that doesn't come this week, but start to see the statistics at least start to look a little bit better. The stats aren't everything, but it's like you do need to see him produce.
His completion percentage is getting close to 60%. And from where he started when he was down around 50.
Right.
That's
he was at, I think, 52 or something through the first 3 games.
51.4 or something like that. So being close to 60 is progress. He's on pace to throw for over 3,300 yards. Now, how many of those yards are empty, blah, 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 blah. But still, you know, 3,000-yard passers with the Titans is no...
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't happen all the time.
No, it doesn't. And also, who's he throwing to right now?
Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of problems there.
Yeah.
And by the way, the thing we have not mentioned, they've got to be able to run the football a little better.
Yeah, Pollard and Spears both weren't very good on Sunday. The offensive line wasn't very good on Sunday.
And that's why we go back to the offensive line. The offensive line has got to step up in this football game. And, look, they're probably not going to be good enough to give you a chance to win, but they've got to be good enough to give the offense a chance to move the ball down the field. And if your offensive line can play better than it did last week, all right, and you can manage to put some points on the board and get the game to the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
I think that's okay.
And you do get to see Cam Ward, Sam Darnold facing off. Probably the two most popular choices for the Titans quarterback among the fan base this year. So, there's going to be victory laps being taken somewhere, I'm sure.
Oh, I know where there's a victory lap going to be taken. And it's not entirely wrong because you could have traded that pick and signed Sam Darnold.
Yeah.
You know, and you had room under the salary cap to do it. Now, having said that, what kind of season would Sam Darnold be having right now?
Yes.
Probably not great.
I don't know if the Titans roster, the Titans coaching, would have had this team, they're what, 7-3 at this point?
Yeah, I think Sam Darnold probably would have been in a better place to do what Brian Callahan wanted. I would say that.
Yeah.
I think he would have been a better choice to execute what this head coach wanted to do. I understand why you want the young quarterback, you know, because you want to see what he can do.
And a higher ceiling.
Higher ceiling. And, well, I mean, Sam was the third overall pick and was thought to be a first overall pick for a long time.
But has Sam Darnold reached his ceiling, I would argue, yes.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. If this is his ceiling is pretty good. I mean, he was pretty good last year, and the numbers are really good this year outside of last
week. Except for the four picks, yeah.
Yeah, but they had four picks, and they still almost won the football game.
They did. They had a field goal at the end to win it.
And so, which goes to how much he has grown as a player, that he didn't let four picks stop him from putting them in a position to win the game. He's a great story. He's a great lesson for a lot of us and you know who want to just bury guys right out of the gate. Now, we have to also understand he's not the norm.
No.
He's not the norm.
But we're seeing lots of them right now of guys who...
Just guys the Jets draft.
Yes. Guys who have struggled out of the gates and figured it out. I mean, you even look at... I've mentioned Jared Goff a couple times this week. Have had a horrible rookie season figured it out once he got the right coach.
Yeah, he got the right coach. And Sean McVay is fantastic.
Yes, he is.
But even Sean McVay jettisoned him. After going to the Super Bowl with him, Sean McVay said, "I need better," and he got Matt Stafford, and Goff grew from there.
Yeah,
and you know, there's some interesting stories out of Detroit where, like, they had to tell him, "You are our guy. All right, go do it. You're our guy."
Right,
because he didn't necessarily believe.
He kind of felt like he was just a throw-in that deal.
And so, you know, for a lot of these guys, it's experience, but success is. You know, there's nothing that beats success and the confidence that goes with it.
Yeah.
And when guys start to believe in what they're doing, and, you know, there's a lot of teams, a lot of players that need that. The Titans are right there at the top of the list.
Yes, they are. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. We'll take your texts and calls. Appreciate everybody who's called in the first hour. We'll talk more Titans later on in the show. But coming up next, Big week in college football. The new college football playoff rankings are out. We'll talk about where Vandy stands. They were leapfrogged by somebody last night. And what their path looks like after Oklahoma's upset win over Alabama this weekend. Also, the coaching carousel is spinning. I want to get Corey's thoughts
James
on
Franklin.
James Franklin to Virginia Tech. And the Lane Kiffin saga that continues to play out down in Oxford. Jake Lyman, Corey Curtis, Parker Kelly, next man up. 1025 The Game.